Let me just say a word about this tape. I'm taping this after the lesson because part of this tape was noisy. I want to just talk about that for a second. This tape is noisy in spots. Maybe 10% of the tape is this way. It's kind of intermittent. It goes throughout the tape. And then about the last half is all okay. The first part's all okay, but there's some noisy spots in it. You can fast forward through the noisy spots or whatever, but it's a good tape. Except for that, and I regret that, and I found the problem, fixed it. But I just want you to know that if you'll just stick with it and fast forward to the noisy spots, there, most of the tape, maybe 90% of it, is fine. So having said that, just go ahead and enjoy the rest of the tape. Thanks.
All right. Tonight we're going to continue in this vein. Speaking words that God can use. Folks, this is so important. I don't know how I can emphasize this enough. To speak words God can use. You know, half the time we're speaking stuff God can't use. I mean, he wants to help us. He's our Father. He loves us. But we got to help him help us sometimes, okay? Now, tonight, I'd like to start off by reading two scriptures. I'd like to go over the law of words one more time. So turn to Mark 11:23. That's what our first lesson was, called the law of words. And I'd also, once you find that, put your finger there and find James chapter 2, please. And we're going to read these and I'm going to ask you a question. James chapter 2 and Mark chapter 11. Okay, everybody got that? Mark chapter 11. Jesus cursed the fig tree, didn't he? Remember that? That was our first lesson on words. And when he got all done, the disciples noticed it, and they called it to his attention, and Jesus used that to teach them a lesson about faith and about words. And he said to them, have the faith of God. And then he gave them the law of words. All right, now let's just go over that law. He says, for truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and I can just see him pointing at the mountain that was right there, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now go and get thrown by the mountain. Because he said you got to believe it in your heart, right? Don't worry. Don't feel condemned if you haven't done anything with mountains around here, okay? Or no mountains around here. But that's something that's going to take a lot of faith for, right? But he's saying, if you could believe for that, if there was no doubt in your heart at all, then you could speak to that mountain and it would move. Now that's the law of words. But we can't because we don't have that degree of faith in that. We don't have any scripture except this example of mountains. And Jesus really isn't. He's using this to talk about the mountains in your life. But we do have scripture for a lot of things that are bugging us in our lives, like health problems, financial problems, marital problems, kid problems. All those things are covered in the Word of God. And we can speak to those situations. And if we can speak to those situations in such a way that there's no doubt in our heart, but we shall believe what we say, then we shall have whatsoever we say. That is the law of words. And it will work every single time. That you believe in your heart and don't doubt in your heart, okay? Now that's the trick, isn't it? That's the big gotcha. It's nothing to talk, it's nothing to say something. I mean, talk's cheap, we hear that all the time. But the trick is believing in your heart that what you say is going to come to pass. That's the trick. But it's not a trick. Why is it not a trick? It's a question for you. What's the solution to this potential problem? Anybody? All right. What we really need here is faith, right? If we're going to speak to something. How do we get faith?
Hearing
the word. So there you are. All you've got to do is find out the promise, the thing that you need in the Word of God that's promised to you. Find out if you qualify or not. And folks, as children of God, we qualify. Sure. I mean, we're redeemed from the curse of the law, and that curse included about everything that's bad. And then we're eligible for the blessing of Abraham, and that included about everything that's good that we need. Just knowing that a little bit, that's why we spent so much time on that here a couple months ago. will get you by most situations. Now, faith comes, folks, listen, faith comes by knowing that that's in the Word and God promised it to you. That's the only way you're ever going to be able to speak to that mountain in your life and get it to move is by knowing in your heart that God has promised you that thing. Now, you get it in your heart that Jesus Christ has already taken your infirmities and bore your sickness, that by Jesus' stripes you were healed, that Jesus Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law, and in that curse was every sickness and every disease. You get that down in your spirit, then you can start speaking to those things in your life, and they'll move. All right? So that's how this law works. The big gotcha is believing, but it's not really such a big gotcha if we'll just get in the Word of God, find out what it says about our situation, get the faith in our heart, begin to speak to our situation. That's the way it's done. All right? Now, that's the law of words. Now, look at James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, and what it means here is corresponding actions to go with your faith, is dead, being alone. The very first time I ever read that as a Christian, almost in my mind an equation went scroll past my mind. Faith plus corresponding action equals results. And folks, that is so true. Now, if you go back and look at the law of words, this is just another way of saying this. Faith in what you say and then saying it will cause it to come to pass. Faith plus action. The action in this case is speaking the words. You understand what I'm saying here? Faith plus action. What you do is you get the faith in your heart and then you speak to the situation in your life that needs to be changed with words. That's the action. Faith alone is not enough. If you just have faith in your heart, now here's what I'm getting at, now listen to this, and don't speak the words, it will never come to pass. You can have all the faith in the world, and if you don't speak the words, it won't happen. That's why words are so powerful. See, it says here, faith without corresponding actions or works is dead, being alone. Faith plus zero equals faith. And that's not enough. It's necessary, but it's not sufficient. You know what I'm saying? By necessary and not sufficient. Some things are necessary. I mean, it's necessary to eat food to survive. But it's not sufficient for survival. You've got to drink something too, okay? But it's necessary. It's very important. Faith is very important. But it's not enough by itself. All right, now let's go turn in our Bible to John chapter 4. So Jesus, it says in verse 46, came again into Cana of Galilee. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea unto Galilee, he went unto him and besought Jesus, that Jesus would come down and heal his son, for his son was at the point of death, right on death. Then Jesus said this unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. I'm just going to read this all, and then we'll go back over. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, ere my son die. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants came and told him, saying, thy son lives. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew it was at the same hour that Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now let's go back over this a little bit, because there's some really interesting things here. Now remember, faith plus action equals results. Now the action can be words, and most normally it is words. But it can also be something besides, you know, words aren't the only actions that we do. It can be something else. We're going to see something else. Okay, so let's look at this situation. What do we have here? We have a nobleman who lives in Capernaum. His son is dying. So he travels about 30 miles. come see Jesus. And he comes to see Jesus, and he besought him, that means he begged him, that he would come down and heal his son. For his son was at the point of death. And Jesus said this strange thing unto him. He said, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. What does Jesus mean? What Jesus means is, we got a problem here. You've come down here to get your son healed. But you're geared up for me coming down there, and when you see your son healed, then you'll believe. And that ain't gonna work. And that's what Jesus is really saying. See, he's come down here out of desperation. See, you can come to God in desperation, or you come to God in faith. But they're not the same thing. This father's come to Jesus in desperation. And you can imagine the man would be desperate. Here his son is at the point of death. That's a serious situation. But remember, Jesus wants to heal his son. But Jesus is looking to establish a faith partnership. And this man has not given him anything that they can get settled on together to get this boy healed. See, we need to understand something. Let me just pause and say this. When Jesus came to earth to minister, do you all realize that he didn't come here as the Son of God to minister? He came here as a man. He gave up Philippians 2, 6, and 7, tells us his heavenly powers of God. It says also that he said this way. He said, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He says, the works that you see me do, they're not mine. They're the works of my Father. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. See, Jesus gave up that power when he came here. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. You remember seeing that? That's in John chapter 5. You look it up in your own. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. A lot of people just throw up their hands and say, what are you saying? Jesus is God. Yes, he is. But he gave up that when he came to this earth. He ministered as a prophet under the old covenant, not as the Son of God. So that's why he's establishing these faith partnerships with people. He's not just coming in like gangbusters. He's showing us how we can minister today as a spirit-filled child of God. Okay? And so, because he said, the works that I do, shall you do also. And even greater works shall you do, because I'm going to my Father. And you're going to have the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that I have in me, you're going to have with him too. If I don't go to the Father, he won't come. I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to send him. So we need to understand that Jesus is ministering here not as God. Okay? And a lot of people don't understand that when you read the gospel. Okay, so he says here, unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. And that's going to be a problem. And the nobleman doesn't understand this. He says, sir, come down unless my child dies. It's sort of like, didn't you hear what I said about my son? What is all this stuff about unless I see signs and wonders? So Jesus does this, and this is the, I want you to get this. Jesus says this. Now, put yourself in this man's position. You've traveled maybe 30 miles. You've come to Jesus because you're desperate. Your child is on the verge of death. And Jesus says, what's the sign of the wonders? Jesus, my son, is going to die. Come down and heal him. And Jesus says to you, go by will. Now, when I read this, I get a big pause. I get all heaven listening. What man can do? This is one of those situations where it can go your way right here. Jesus says to this man, go thy way. Thy son lives. Now, let me ask you a question. At that moment, just stop right there without anything else happening. Is his son going to live? If he goes, that's right. If he goes. See, there's the action. Now, where? Okay, now let's just stop for a second here. Go thy way, thy son lives. There is what? The word of what? God. That's the word for this situation. That's the word his father gave him to say to this man. Go thy way. Thy son lives.
Yes, thy son lives.
Right. Now, there's some ammunition, there's some grounds for faith now, okay? God has spoken through Jesus here. All right? So here we have a situation. Faith can come. How does faith come? By hearing God's word. The man's not deaf. So here's an opportunity for the man to have faith. Now, that's part of the equation. Faith without corresponding action, though, is what?
Dead.
Being alone. Okay, so if the man receives this, he has faith. Now, even then, if he rejects it, there'll be no faith. You understand that? You have to receive the Word of God for the faith to come in your heart. If you want to reject the Word of God, no faith's going to come in your heart. But if you're going to get faith, that's how it's going to happen. Okay? So here's the opportunity for this man to have faith. That's the first term in the equation. Are you going to receive this, mister? Evidently, he does. Now, the next part of the equation Jesus gives him is to go thy way. That's the action. Faith depends there because of faith. And now he tells the man, see, he's trying to get this man to, he's trying to establish a faith partnership with this man. And so, here it is, fella. Go thy way, thy son lives. This is a big deal. What this man does right now, see, Jesus can't just go up and say, listen, here's what I'm going to do. You need faith, and if you'll act on what I'm going to tell you in a minute, and go your way, I'm going to tell you to go your way, everything's going to work out great, okay? You can't do that. That would be cheating. You can't do that. The man would just, well, okay, I'll give it a try. No. The man's got to just hear this word, the naked word of God, and act, and believe it on his own, and act. So let's see what happens. And the man believed the word. And what happens when you believe the word? Faith comes, right? Now that's one half of the equation that Jesus spoke to him. And what? He went his way. Action. Faith plus action equals results. And it was he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, said, thy son liveth. And then the man inquired of them at the hour when his son began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. And the father knew it was the same hour that Jesus said that word. Now, go ahead.
The servants had to be coming 15 miles while he was going 15 miles.
Yeah, exactly. And so, whole day passed, overnight. It said yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left. Now, don't you think that this man had to deal with some potential negative thoughts here? I mean, here he's walked all this way. Imagine yourself. Put yourself in this man's position. You know, say you just walked to Fort Wayne to get healing for your child. And you get there to the prophet or whoever you're going to, the man of God, and he says, unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. Come on. Come to my house and heal my son. Say, go thy way, thy son lives. Now think how you might feel about this situation. You think, well, my plan was to get him to come to the house. My plan was to see him laying his hand, this man of God, on my son and doing all the things that I've heard he does with everybody else. This is not what I've heard before. But he is in the man's hand. Okay. And then you go your way, and all these negative thoughts start ramping, you know, like a machine gun coming like they do. You ever had something like that at night? You wake up in the night, and there it is. Whether it's, you know, you're standing on a healing for something serious like cancer, and you're fine during the day, you got your scriptures, you know, taped to the refrigerator, you go read those things, your spouse is buoying you up and saying, we got this, you got this thing licked, you know, I heard your confession, way to go. And then you wake up in the middle of the night and there's the enemy right there in your face saying you're not healed. You ever had that happen to you? Oh yeah. Or whatever it is, your kids, you know, your kid's out there right now and he's drunk and he's on dope and he's driving his car recklessly right now, this second, you know, and you wake up in the night or something. You ever been there? Don't go there. Don't go any further with that, okay? Don't let the words come out of your mouth. just say no in the name of Jesus. I surround my son with faith and love, and nothing shall touch him, Satan. You take your hands off him in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, you have authority as parents to do things like this. Now, this man has authority over his son. You know, he comes all the time. I assume it's a younger son. I doesn't say for sure. But this man has come for this child's healing, and how he's acted on his faith. Now, don't you think it's not over yet, is it? I mean, his son began to amend. This was not a sudden, instantaneous process, was it? And you know, so many times I think we shut the Lord off in the sense that we expect things to be immediate. We go get hands laid on us for healing. We ought to be able to go out and say, huh, can I hear better? Hold your watch up. You know, that's silly, really, when you really understand. Say, you know, you have bad ear. I still can't hear a tick. I guess it didn't work. Begin to amend. See, folks, when you're prayed for, when you pray, something happens on the spirit level. And later, that thing, if you don't stop that seed from growing, will come up and rise up and manifest itself in this physical realm we live in, okay? But don't kill it just because you don't see it yet. You know, that'd be like putting a seed in the ground. And you put a little water on it, you know, and you're doing pretty good. You go out the next day and you look, there's nothing there, and you just kick it with your foot and get off. You wouldn't do that, would you, with a seed? Because you understand that that seed needs a little time to germinate, a little time to grow. And it's going to maybe grow and develop roots downward for quite a while before you see anything pop through the soil. Well, why should it be any different when you receive the seed of the Word of God? You believe that, you act upon it, you don't go out the next day. Don't go out the next day and dig it up. Just realize that's working. That's working. Don't say anything negative about it. And see, this man, the next day, he walked all that night. I don't know if he slept somewhere or what, but I know he had these thoughts like, maybe I ought to go back. Just maybe if I talked to him one more time, he would come to my house. That'd be best. And if he'd have turned around and gone back to Jesus and said, Lord, please come to my house, what would have happened? That wouldn't have worked. His son would have died. That would not have worked. He had to obey that word. But he did obey the word, and he kept going until he got the good report. So see, you know, that's what we need to do too. You know, and another thing is we have to realize this, sometimes you got to dig these things out of the Bible. This is very apropos for us today, because when we pray, guess what? Jesus doesn't walk into our house bodily and lay hands on us, does he? It's at a distance, just like this was. Jesus doesn't have to be in the room. All right? And today, it's the same way, we have to take his word for it. You understand what I'm saying? You know, just like this man did, and act on that word. What word do we have? Well, he had, go thy way, thy son liveth. This is our word now. This is the word of God that we're supposed to act on. Now, I've got a list of questions here I wanted to ask you about this. Just to kind of nail this all down, not to put you on the spot, but just kind of... what happened when the nobleman heard what Jesus said? What was the thing that happened? What does it say? What when he heard Jesus? He did what?
Success.
Well, what happens when you hear something that something from the Word of God? What can happen in you?
Accepted or rejected.
If you accept it, what happens?
Faith comes.
Right. That's Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what happened? The nobleman heard what Jesus said. He let that word come into his heart, and faith was generated. All right. What happened when he did what Jesus asked?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Yes.
What happened when Jesus, when he did what Jesus asked?
Oh, he turned and started heading off.
Right, and then that's when the boy was healed. He got the results. See? The first, he got the faith by hearing, and then when he acted, like Thorpe said, the results then came. You know, it's so simple, folks. I don't know why we miss this. If we're not acting on our faith, we're not going to see much happening in our lives. One way we act on our faith is keep our words consistent with God's words. That will change your life. And our actions consistent with God's word. All right? Question 3, does Jesus have to be present to heal?
No.
No, he wasn't present in this case when the boy was healed, was he? What was wrong with the man wanting to see signs and wonders before he believed?
He didn't have faith.
No, he didn't have the faith yet. He wanted to see and then believe. Mm-hmm. And we do the same thing sometimes. Some people say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. But see, that you're never going to see it in the faith realm if you wait for that. You'll never see it. He had the cart before the horse, didn't he?
Yes. Now, he must have had some faith or he wouldn't have come to Jesus.
Yeah. But it was a desperation faith. Yeah. It wasn't the kind of faith that was going to get the son healed, because Jesus himself said, unless you see it happen, you're not going to believe. And I need you to believe right now. That's basically what he said.
But see, I always ask different things of us, and that time he asked that he would have more faith.
Have faith.
Yeah.
See, if we go, I mean, this is pretty, if we go to a healing evangelist, let's say, and we travel clear to Chicago, that isn't the faith that's going to get you healed. Just because you went that far. You go that far in desperation. And they'll go outside and they'll check their body out and they'll say, next week I'm going so-and-so. And you'll go to another place. And they'll check their body out after he prays. It doesn't look any different to me. I don't feel any different. Next week I'm going here. See, there's no faith there. Desperation is all it is. It's got to be faith based on God's word. Not this desperation type of stuff. See, this man had, you can go, what I'm trying to say, Diane, is you can go and travel to the man of God with fear in your heart, simply because it's the last resort. You understand what I'm saying? You can have fear and go get in a healing line, and hope and get in a healing line. But see, we need faith, and that's different. Hope says, I'm going to try this. I hope it works. And, you know, there's a possibility this could work. That isn't faith. That won't work.
With faith, you don't even need to travel.
Right. Exactly. See, a lot of the people that are going around the country hunting for all these people to lay hands on them, you can sit in your own home and say, Father, I've just been diagnosed. I've gone to the doctor today, and he says, I've got heart trouble, cancer, whatever. Father, I just come in before you right now in the name of Jesus. I went there. I found out what the mountain is. I know where to focus my faith now. And I come before you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I declare that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And right now, Father, I believe I receive my healing right this instant based upon the Word of God. And you stick with that, and you're not going to die of cancer. You can't. If you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, it will come to pass. And you have Scripture in here to get it in your heart and believe it. The sad truth is that so many Christians don't have this in their heart. They haven't heard this taught very much. And so their faith is a little weak in these areas. But, you know, it doesn't have to be. You can get this in your heart. And you can act in faith. And you can make faith statements. And you can live victoriously above this thing. And then when you do that, the manifestation will come. Now, there's other things in here, too. Now, you can't just be living any old kind of life. You know, we found out today, we found out previous lessons that sickness comes from Satan. We found that out. We also found out that if we'll keep ourselves from sin, the wicked one touches us not. You know, we walking in love is very important. Faith worketh by love. We had a lesson on that. Remember that? Your faith won't work if you're not walking in love. So it all ties together. Next question. When do signs and wonders come? When there's faith. Now, did you remember in Mark 16:20, it says, they went everywhere preaching the word, and the Lord confirmed the word with signs following. Do you ever remember reading that? It's in Mark 16:20. They went everywhere preaching the gospel, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word acted upon with signs following. That's when signs follow, is when the word is heard and acted upon. See, this man wanted signs and wonders without the word being heard and acted upon. He just wanted it. He wanted Jesus to carry the whole burden, do the whole thing for him. And Jesus was trying to establish this faith partnership with this man. All right? So Jesus helped the man by giving the nobleman the word that he needed, which was, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, if the man hadn't gone his way, it wouldn't have worked. Does Jesus give us a healing word? Do we have a healing word? Like this, in this case, it was go thy way, thy son lives. Do we have a healing word today?
Mm-hmm.
What would give me one of them. Give me a healing word that we could act upon. What does the Word of God have to say about healing for Christians?
To believe.
Okay. When did healing come for Christians?
When Jesus.
When yes.
When Jesus,
I mean, it came in the same package, didn't it? By Jesus what?
His stripes.
When did that happen?
When he was on the
cross. That's a crucifixion, right? By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. See, that's again, you know, I've mentioned this before, but that's why we have two elements when we go have communion instead of one. We're all familiar with the wine or the grape juice. That's to celebrate the fact that Jesus shed his blood for our redemption from sin. But so, you know, sad to say, a lot of Christians don't understand that the broken bread that we break and eat is we're celebrating the broken body of Jesus for our healing. Go read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talks a lot about this business of these guys not, he says, for this, Paul says, for this reason many of you are weak and sickly, and many sleep before their time, that you don't rightly discern the Lord's body when you take communion. That's what he said. They weren't discerning the fact that that body was broken in the communion, and you take that, really what you should do is say, Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you took my infirmities, you bore my sickness, that by your stripes, Jesus, I was healed. You're my healer, just like you're my Savior. And as you chew that piece of bread, celebrate the fact that Jesus' broken body was broken for your healing, the same way you do when you take the juice. I always do that. I mean, you know, that's part and parcel of what we have. You know, that gives you something to do with the bread, so to speak. Okay. What is necessary for healing to take place in my life? Okay. Okay, and that man heard something and he acted upon it. So we need to do the same thing, don't we? We need to, and what I'm trying to do here, and we're different levels, some people haven't heard this as much as others, I'm trying to bring the hearing. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Himself took your infirmities. So when you hear this, you don't go, wow, that's different. You know, I don't know about that. You know, that sounds like this might be a little off or something like that. Read your Bible. Find out what it says about this. You know, this is a valuable commodity. I mean, the salvation is absolutely necessary if we're going to go to heaven and be with the Lord for eternity. But wouldn't you like to spend your time here in health? Wouldn't you like to spend your time here continually fighting for just to keep your head above water financially? Now, that's not to say you're not going to be tried in these areas. Satan will try everything he can to get you off this stuff. It says he comes immediately to steal the word. He'll try to, the first time you hear this, he'll try to make you think, that's the silliest thing I ever heard of. He comes immediately to steal that word if he can. I'm trying to give you something, folks, free of denominationalism, free of tradition, that's only, this is what the Word of God says. You know, I don't have to, you know, I don't get a commission for anything on this. I don't get paid for, you know, I'm saying, I truly am trying to bring this word to you so that you'll hear some things maybe you haven't heard before that are uncolored by tradition, that are uncolored by denominationalism. Because what happens is if you got a big organization going, you have to explain away all the things that didn't seem to work. And what happens is you tend to interpret the word in light of your experience instead of interpreting your experiences in light of the word. See, there's a big temptation when you're a pastor or somebody like that to interpret the word of God in light of experiences and to say that because I knew people that were good people and they died and they didn't get healing, that this isn't for today or whatever or whatever. But see, that's dangerous. Where are you going to stop? You rip that page out. And then tongues, where are you going to stop with that? That's not for today. But Paul said, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. And he said, forbid not to speak with tongues. No, I'm sorry, our church doesn't got it. Tear that page out. You know, I don't like to do that. I like to interpret my experiences in light of what this says. Well, I experienced this thing, but I'm going to interpret it this way. Maybe there's something I didn't understand about that situation. Maybe there's some reason that I always ask God, You know, if I pray for something and I don't receive it in a length of time, or, you know, if the healing doesn't come like it should, then I go back and say, okay, God, I missed it somewhere. You didn't. The word's true. See, that's interpreting the word, your experiences, in light of the word and not the other way around. I don't go to God and say, God, your word didn't work. I did everything like it said, and it didn't work. What you do when you're basically doing, when you say that, you're calling God a liar. And he's not. It's always that we don't rightly understand something. And every time I've ever gone to God and said, God, show me where I missed it. You didn't miss it. I did. He's shown me. And almost every time, it's in this area of walking in love. Somebody I had a little unforgiveness toward. Not that God's punishing me, but see, I've stepped outside of my umbrella of covenant protection, where the enemy can get at me. It's not God that's throwing this stuff at me. It's I've gotten myself out of my protection area, and I need to hurry right back under that umbrella again. And don't waver. What happens?
We hear the word,
we act on the word, and we don't waver.
We
get the results, don't we? And it's that simple, and it happens every time. You know, a lot of people, when you say every time, they immediately hackles go up. Well, wait a minute, I know so-and-so, it didn't happen in my life. Wait a minute, is the word true or not? Did Jesus say that if you believe something in your heart, say it with your mouth, it'll happen part of the time? No, he said every time, whosoever. So we need to interpret every situation in light of that. If it didn't happen, that means either I doubted in my heart, or didn't believe it would come to pass, or I said maybe it's the wrong thing. Said something I didn't really want to happen. I didn't realize what I was saying. Sometimes we're saying things, and we don't realize that we're really stopping God in our lives. You know, when we say things that are negative about our financial situation, our health, whatever it might be, our children, you know, the great danger with children is that they'll pick up on what we say to them after a while, and they'll get defeated. You know, if I continually tell my son, you know, you're an idiot, like I used to when he was young, it was bad, I'd say, idiot, when he do stuff, and that was bad. And God really convicted me of that. You know, I'm building into my son a failure mentality, that he just isn't smart enough to cope. And he was doing some stuff that wasn't great. I mean, he was wrong, the stuff he's doing, but it was wrong for me to call him an idiot. You know, because if he picks up on that and he begins to believe that and gives up on ever being able to amount to anything, if I say, I never said that to him, thank God. You'll never amount to anything, and he picks up on that and begins to give up. See, words are so powerful. You have to be careful. Well, that pretty much covers the nobleman's son. I had the woman with the issue of blood, but you want to go on with that, or you want to call? Okay.
When he turned around, he had to go half the distance in faith, you know. But we're talking there, what I've learned in my walk, it takes time. You have to be patient. God's time and your time are not the same. You want instantaneous, and he has it all planned out, and he's confirmed in the word, he's confirmed in your spirit that things are going to work out, and you've got to walk through it and watch what you say. The man didn't go running across the desert, oh, I hope he's still alive, I hope he's still alive, I hope I get there in time to show that he's still alive. No, he could have, because it would have been a negative confession kind of thing. But we, and you know, we're all complaining we want DSL and we want the computer to go twice as fast. Hello? You know, nobody sends a letter by mail anymore. Well, we are very impatient as a society. So when someone says, well, I was prayed with it or it didn't work, he walks out and checks it out. Maybe you were prayed with and you thought at the time, you've just got to keep your mouth shut and go on what you know to be true. Wait it out. I waited 11 years for my son to be 29 years old and a grown man. And I've been thankful for that all week. His birthday's coming. And I'm praising God. That's why we sang that one song. But 11 years. Hello?
Now, you know, don't be discouraged by 11 years, because if we wait 11 years for healing, we're all going to get there. No. But most of these things happen fairly quickly. I mean, but see, God, when it comes to somebody else, God's got to work in their lives in a way that doesn't violate their free will. And, you know, it takes a while to get their head turned in some of these areas, you know, because they got the enemy on one side talking to them, They got the Holy Spirit on the other side trying to get them to change, and they have a free will too. But you hang in there, and you hang in there, and you hang in there. It doesn't have to take that long. But even if it does, hang in there. Now, that's the longest thing that we've ever had, basically. But most of the things, especially when you get onto this, don't take that long. And the best is to live in divine health all the time. You know, when that first symptom comes, take care of it right now. You know, don't play around with these things. Don't say, well, you know, maybe that's just, you know, the time of year. And jump right on it. God's word says that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. That himself, Jesus, took your infirmities for you. And I always say this to the enemy, what Jesus bore, I needn't bear again. Isn't that right? He bore it, I don't have to bear it again. That's what it says. And I said, you're illegally trespassing on my body. And I'm not going to allow you to do that. You can't do it. Now, that won't work if you're living in sin, I'll tell you right now, okay? Because you're on his territory now. But if you're, you know, if you're walking, if you're walking in love, and there's nothing, and if you have got something that needs to be fixed up, fix it up. It's free. Jesus already paid for it. You know, no sense hiding it. You know what I'm saying? I always, you know, get it cleared up real quick, because I don't like to live 10 seconds, out from under that umbrella. If I know, and your heart immediately convicts you, you know, don't push it in the background, because you're living in dangerous territory all during that time until you do finally get it fixed up. So this is available for every Christian. This example we had tonight was an example showing, I think, very, very clearly that if you'll hear the word, and that's what we're doing here on Thursday nights, that's what you do when you get in your Bibles in your quiet time, is to get the word in your heart. Now, when it's in your heart, I can help a little bit with that by bringing out some of these things, but I can't do the acting. You'll have to act on this truth and not let the enemy steal it from you. You know, when this truth comes out, if it's new, something you haven't heard before, don't let the enemy steal it just because it might be a little new. Go look it up for yourselves. That's why I give you the outlines. Go look these scriptures up. You meditate on these scriptures. You talk to God about this stuff and start reading your Bible like it really is the Word of God directly to you, your Bible for you. Speaking to you, not a history book, not just information book, but when it says something that comes in your redemption, that's yours. When it says something happens because you're in him, that's yours. And you should be enjoying these things. If you remember, we were studying on the blessing of Abraham. It says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. You should have all those blessings operating in your life. I used to periodically go down through all the blessings and see if I had them all working. And if I didn't, I'd start talking about that one. I'd say, okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just declare with my mouth right now, I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth that I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. That you bless all that I set my hand to. If someone rises up against me one way, they flee before me seven ways. I thank you, Father, that the blessing of Abraham is operating in my life right now. And another thing I used to do, and the Lord corrected me on this one. I used to go around and I'd say, Lord, I have the blessing of Abraham, and because I'm a tither, you're going to open the windows of heaven and pour out upon me such a blessing. And all of a sudden, one day, the Lord had me change the tense of that, because going to never gets there. Saying, I've already done it for you. It's already yours if you're a tither. So I changed it. I said, Father, I thank you, because I'm a giver. It is given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men are given into my bosom right now. For with the same measure that I meet, it's measured to me back again. Men are doing this right now. Because I'm a tither, Father, the windows of heaven are now open and are now pouring out upon me such a blessing. I don't have room to receive it because your word says so. Get it in the present tense happening, not in the future. Faith is now. Faith is always now. When you pray, you should believe that you receive the answer to your prayer now in faith. And then if you do that, the manifestation will come later. But you believe now. See, this man wanted to believe later after he saw. And Jesus couldn't work with that. Okay? So that's enough for tonight. I think it was just a nice, compact little lesson. We don't need to add anything else to it. Next week we can continue on with this if you like. or we can start a little something new. If you want to go on with the woman with the issue of blood next week and Jairus' dead daughter and see what their confession had to do, or we can go on with something new. I'll just pray about it this week, see what the Lord wants us to do. So, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you have spiritual laws, Father, in your word, that if we'll just dig them out, Father, and apply them to our lives, we will see miracles in our lives. We will see changes in our lives. Father, I thank you that as we change our confession and we change our words to come into line with what your word says and not what our situation looks like, we will see changes in our lives. But Father, if we continue to confess things as they are now, we'll continue to see things as they are now. Father, I just ask you this week, in everyone that's here tonight, I ask you, Father, as they begin to open their mouths to say something that might come out not in line with your word, that you help them, Father, to stop and not say that. And then, Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you give them to something to substitute from the word of God for that situation. Yes, Father, I know that your word says that you can only bring back to them what they've already heard once, if the Holy Spirit will bring things to their remembrance. But Father, I ask you to find some scripture that they've heard before that you can bring to their remembrance about that situation. And Father, I expect to hear reports come back next week of things that almost got said but didn't, and things that should get said that did in these people's lives, Father. And I ask you as they come back next week to remind them of how you've worked that in their life this week, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, our lesson was Lesson 24, Speaking Words God Can Use, Part 2. We had a lesson on the, I think it was the nobleman last week we covered, wasn't it? I believe it was. And so let's answer just the questions that have to do in our homework with the nobleman, because we never got to the woman with the issue of blood or Jairus and his daughter. So we're going to do that tonight instead. But let's just answer the questions from the nobleman. All right. You remember what the nobleman was about? I guess some of us that weren't here don't remember, but it was this man, and this nobleman came to Jesus. He traveled about 25 miles to Jesus because his son was sick at home and was very close to death. And he came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy. Come and heal my son. He's near death." And Jesus took a look at him and said, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe." And the man just sort of didn't pick up on that and said, "Master, come. If you don't come, my son's going to die." And so Jesus, trying to elicit some sort of faith statement from this guy, because he was saying nothing Jesus could work with. Remember, we've been talking about faith partnerships with the Lord. The Lord can't do it all. I mean, faith is our part, power is his part. And so he says to the guy that didn't have the faith, he says, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And that was the big pause statement right there, remember? And all of a sudden the guy goes, he just turns around and hits for home. And as he went, and overnight, the next day, people came from his house saying, "Yesterday, the fever left your son." And he began to amend. And he asked the guy, "What hour did my son begin to amend?" And he said, "Yesterday at the seventh hour," or something like that, "the fever left him." And he knew it was the same hour that Jesus had said, "Go thy way." His son began to amend. And we talked about this. We talked about the fact that Jesus helped this man. He said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." If the man hadn't left and would have insisted on Jesus coming, guess what? What would have happened? Nothing, right? And so let's ask a few questions about this. I hope I haven't given anything away, but I felt like I ought to summarize it a little bit so the people that weren't here could know where we were. True or false? The nobleman begged Jesus to come and heal his son. Is that true?
True.
That's true. He did. He came and begged Jesus to do that. The nobleman knew what he wanted. He just didn't know how to get there. Jesus replied, true or false, that the man wouldn't believe unless he saw a miracle. In other words, signs and wonders. Is that true or false?
True.
True. Now, what's the order of receiving a miracle? Do you see the miracle first and then say, "Oh, I believe"?
No. You believe first.
It's the other way around, isn't it? Or you're never going to see that miracle.
He was talking earlier about, "I won't believe it until I see it," you know.
Oh.
The snow.
No miracle.
That's no word.
The snow we can understand, yes. So Jesus performed a miracle and healed the boy so the man would believe. True or false?
False.
Why didn't God do? Why didn't Jesus do that? Wouldn't that have been easier than all this other follower all? Just say, oh, well, the guy don't believe anything. Guess I'll heal him anyway.
But he brought faith into that man's life.
He helped the man to act on his faith. All right? And we've been talking about that, haven't we? We've been talking about the fact that you need a couple of things if you want to see something from the Lord. First of all, you need faith. All right? How does faith come?
By hearing.
By hearing what?
The Word of God.
All right? If you want the kind of Bible faith, you want to hear the Word of God. If you want the kind of world faith, then you need to hear the word of the world. And that's the wrong kind of faith to have. But both kinds will build faith in your heart. And we see a lot of people who got the wrong kind of faith. They got a faith for failure, faith for defeat, faith for getting laid off, faith for getting fired, faith for knowing I'm going to get the flu this year, faith for knowing that my allergies are going to crop up this spring. They got faith for all that kind of stuff. But see, that's not the good kind of faith. And that faith, when coupled with action, and one form of action is words, you got problems now. You start talking that and believing that. Well, so Jesus performed a miracle and healed the boy so the man would believe? No, false. That was not true. Jesus was trying to get the man to demonstrate his faith so the child would be healed. True or false?
True.
That's what he was trying to do. And see, that illustrates something. You know, a lot of times, and I really want to emphasize this, because so many Christians have this idea that if God would like to do something, there's nothing that's going to stop him. He'll just flat out do it. But we see over and over in the Word of God where God wants to do something, but he can't because of the people and their faith. Look at the Israelites entering the Promised Land. Did God want them to go in? Yes, he did. Did they go in? Not for 40 years. Why? Because of words. Does God want everybody in this world saved and go to heaven?
Yes,
he does. In fact, he sent his son here and watched his son undergo a lot of pretty terrible things so that we could go to heaven when we die. But does everyone go to heaven? No, they don't. How come? It's up to the person, isn't it? See, it's not just God ramming in here like gangbusters and doing things. And so it's just the same way with this little case with the nobleman here. God wants to heal his son. But he's got to get something from this nobleman. He says, okay, so true. Jesus was trying to get the man to demonstrate his faith so the child would be healed. True or false? No, it was Jesus' faith that was more important.
False.
See, now, you answered that right. But be honest now. Wouldn't the majority of Christianity pretty much say, yeah, Jesus' faith got that kid healed? See, that's what people think. They think Jesus just goes in and, if he wants to, does all this stuff. If he was going to do that, he would just get everybody saved. He'd all go home tomorrow and be done with this whole thing. But see, it goes back to what happened in the garden. He gave this whole thing to Adam. Adam sold it out to Satan. So now God was on the outside looking in, because he's not an Indian giver. When he gives something, he really gives it. So he's got to work a way back into the world. Considering the fact that man has a free will, that Satan is the little g god of this world, and that man voluntarily has to accept God into their lives. You think about those things, it explains a lot of stuff that's going on in the world today that God gets blamed for. And it's not God's fault, it's the enemy. All right. Jesus healed a man's son because he heard how serious the sickness was.
False.
True or false? False. But the man sort of came with that opinion. Help me, have mercy. I've got a real problem. My son is at the point of death. Jesus does have compassion. But that's not what moves God. Faith is what moves God. That's what gets the job done. When the man heard the words, "Go thy way, thy son lives," he believed. True or false?
True.
How do we know he believed?
Because
he went away. He turned around and left. And his whole idea when he came there was to what? Get Jesus to do what?
Go to his house.
Go to his house. But that didn't work. And Jesus said, "You go thy way, thy son liveth." And so the man changed his mind, believed the word, and went his way, and Jesus healed his son from a distance. See the parallels with today? We come before the Lord. We hear his word. We act on it or don't act on it. And then Jesus from a distance heals, brings the finances, or doesn't. depending upon how we act on that word, just like this man did. Okay.
I that's one thing on the NIV that I didn't like here, because we had a discussion on that. The man took Jesus at his word and departed, see, but if I take somebody at their word, that doesn't actually mean I have to believe them. It's just I'm not, you know, to me, I'm like not sure.
But give the benefit of the doubt a little bit.
I'll take his
doubt.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
To you, that didn't say it quite as strongly.
Right. Uh-huh. That he really believed. He just, well, maybe this is going to happen and, you know, I'll go my way. And then when he met his servants, then he believed along with the servants. That's what, how I got it, you know, going by the NIV. So, well, I know you didn't see that, but that's my twisted mind, you know.
Well, you know, for the man to get pretty far from Jesus, keep going. Says a lot, I think.
Yeah,
you know, and go through the whole night and keep going and not say, I'm not doing this. I'm going back. I had the right idea the first time. Jesus needs to come to my house. That's the way it works. The other guy that I heard about got healed. Jesus went to his house. That's what I want, see. But he didn't. He kept going. He did exactly what Jesus told him to do. But I understand your point there.
Yeah. Chuck. Yeah, that's just, I don't know how yours reads, but I mean, that's one thing that
mine says, go thy way, thy son liveth. And it says, what did it say after that?
It says the man believed.
The man believed. Okay. And then went his way. Yeah. There is a difference there. Yeah. Well, I won't say what Bible, you know what Bible I like. let's see now. This was the moment the man first believed, true or false, when he went his way.
Yes.
Yeah, true. That's the first evidence we have that he believed Jesus. Believing is all that was required for Jesus to heal his son. True or false?
False. He had to go.
He had to go. That's right. Faith plus action equals results. And now, just for your own benefit, if you want a little extra boost in this, read Acts chapter 14. There's an interesting episode in there of a man who had faith but wasn't getting healed. And Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed, but he wasn't healed. So Paul did something like Jesus did here. You know what he did to that guy? He said, stand upright on your feet. The man was never walked. And the man, before he thought of the fact he couldn't walk, he jumped up and went around walking and leaping and praising God. You see, it's interesting. In that episode in Acts 14, it said the man had faith. Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed. But see, faith plus without corresponding action is dead being alone. We read that last week, James 2:17. The man had the faith, but there was no action there. But the man had heard the word. Paul preached the word, and the faith was just throbbing inside of him. And Paul could see that. Probably from a word of knowledge from the Lord or something like that. And he knew the man had the faith, but there was one more thing he needed to do. So before the man in place said, stand up right on your feet. The man jumped up. That little bit of action. Faith plus action equals results. I like that episode. The man acted in faith when he believed the words of Jesus and then did as Jesus requested and turned and headed for home.
True.
We've kind of covered that, haven't we? This act of obedience demonstrated that the man believed the word that Jesus said. True. It also demonstrated the faith that the man needed to have for the child to be healed. True. The order of events is, we believe, then we act, then God acts. True or false?
True.
True. We believe, we act, God acts. So many times people are waiting for God to act, and then they're going to believe, and maybe I'll act. They're going to wait for God to do something, then they're going to say, I believe, and then they're going to go around telling everybody what God did. And that's okay to tell people what God did, but if you want to see it, you're going to have to believe first. Okay.